There. Before I go any further, there's just further explanation needed for those that are close enough to see. I have my face doesn't look as usual as normal as it usually does. I've had a dental procedure during the week, and it's caused a bit more swelling than usual. So it doesn't impinge my ability to speak. Unfortunately, I just can't smile as readily as I normally would. But I have made notes in. Markings in my notes this morning, and when smiles are needed I will let you know, and you're going to have to provide them yourself. So for those who haven't been with us during the summer, we are continuing on with our messages of light bulb moments in discipleship, and we've been looking throughout the summer at incidents from the Gospels where light was shed on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and to question our own response. So far we've explored the questions of commitment, of love, of faith, of loyalty and identity. And as Amy has told us this morning, we're looking at servanthood. Now, I like words. I like individual words. I get quite a lot out of studying individual words, and I know that God speaks to me an awful lot, and he uses individual words when he does this. So I have no doubt that he has something to teach me about servanthood this morning. Whenever a specific word becomes relevant to me, either through reading the Bible or praying or sometimes just through singing, it's always my experience that what I assume the word to mean is never necessarily God's intention and God's meaning. God always has more for us than what is obvious. And I hope that we will experience a little bit of that this morning. Now, for anyone with the slightest understanding of Christianity or the slightest experience of church life, the word servanthood won't be that unfamiliar, really. We often hear people being described as servant-hearted. We often hear them being described as diligent in service of the community. And even if we question our own familiarity with the word, we'll recognise that it is used widely throughout the Bible. It's presented all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament as a fundamental characteristic of following God and as a positive way to describe his followers. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 5, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said." And again, Abraham is described this way in Psalm 105, verse 42. "For he," meaning the Lord, "remembered his holy promise to his servant Abraham." And of course, we also have many Old Testament prophecies describing Jesus himself as a servant. Isaiah 42, we're told, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight." And in Isaiah 52, verse 13, God says, "See, my servant will act wisely, and he will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted." So as Christians and people who attend church, this word is familiar to us. But I always like to understand what the secular world understands about words. And if we look up servanthood in the dictionary, unsurprisingly, it's described as the condition of being a servant. And the word condition is described as a particular state that something or someone is in. So basically, we understand servanthood as being or living in a state of being a servant. And the word servant itself, when we look that up in the dictionary, well, it's explained as a person who is in the service of another, or a person who performs duties and attends to the needs of others. Now, this may just be my interpretation, but this dictionary definition, it seems to imply quite a low-ranking position, powerless almost, meek, without any real authority. And when we look up synonyms of the word servant, it'll bring up descriptions which aren't very pleasant, such as drudge, skivvy, lackey, slave. So if servanthood is so important to the Christian faith, and if Jesus himself is described as a servant king, a servant king to be highly exalted, how can God's meaning of servanthood be so different than the worldly understanding of the word? How can it be so fundamental in our relationship with God and our journey of discipleship? How can the idea of servanthood provide us with our light bulb moment of discipleship? Well, as we quickly learn on our Christian journey, if we want to understand more about God, we need to look to Jesus. He himself tells us in Matthew 11 that all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So we look to Jesus' example to explore God's meaning of servanthood. And this morning we're going to do that by looking at John 13, verses 1 to 17, which is the story of how Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And Liz is going to come and read that for us.
Martin? John washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen.
There's a big smile of appreciation right there. Thank you, Liz. So, here we have a passage that, at first glance, is a simple retelling of an event that happened just before Jesus shared the Passover meal with his disciples. He washed their feet. Now, don't get me wrong, we can all glean from this passage that it was a groundbreaking event, the likes of which the disciples had never seen before, and they didn't really understand. Jesus was making statements that didn't seem to make sense, and even when Peter thought he understood, he still didn't get it quite right, bless him. The more we study this passage, the more we find that there are many layers of meaning to what we read about. Of course, we already understand from our studies over the summer that God's truths are revealed to us through the obvious and through the not so obvious. our knowledge of Jesus' ministry himself and his use of parables to teach gives us an insight into how God teaches us. So if this is our expectation with this passage, then let's look together at what it reveals. I'm going to start at looking at the obvious, at what is actually happening here. I'm quite a practical person. I appreciate things getting done. And I tend to live by the philosophy that actions speak louder than words. So I find there's a valuable lesson in us noticing how Jesus actually behaves here. And we're going to quickly look at three things that Jesus demonstrated through his actions that I hope will serve as valuable examples for us in our quest to understand servanthood. In one of the earlier dictionary definitions of servanthood, it was explained as someone who attends to the needs of others. So let's just look at how Jesus actually physically does this. Firstly, Jesus puts his own needs aside. He puts his own needs aside to carry out the work of the kingdom. This meal was happening right before Jesus was about to be betrayed and handed over to the authorities to die. Isaiah, when we read Isaiah 53, it paints quite a graphic picture of what we know Jesus endured. And as we read this passage, we see words such as despised, rejected, suffering, afflicted, pierced, crushed, punished, oppressed, and even slaughter. Quite horrific when applied to a human body. And Jesus did have a human body. We're told in Hebrews 2 verse 17, for this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. So we can assume if Jesus was fully human, that as he grew up through childhood, adolescence, and into adulthood, he will have experienced some degree of physical pain along the way. We know that Jesus was brought up as a carpenter, and we know that he started working alongside his father Joseph at a young age. He will have started out with very immature skills. The tools he will have used were primitive compared to today's standards. There will have been a very low standard of safety. So I think it's fair to assume that even in his normal everyday life, despite being the Son of God, Jesus will have known what human physical pain felt like. These experiences would have been nothing compared to what he was about to endure. Intolerable pain and suffering that he was genuinely afraid of. He knew every single detail of what he would experience upon the cross. He already knew the torture of the pain. And we know this because in that miraculous way, he was the one who himself inspired the words we read about in Isaiah 53. So as he sat in that room with his disciples, Jesus understood exactly what the next few days would hold for him. Yet he set aside his own needs in obedience to the Father to faithfully follow through with the plan for salvation. Salvation not only of his disciple friends, but of all humanity. He knew the disciples needed to know the fundamental truth of God's kingdom. So he put aside his own thoughts and fears of what he was to face, and he faithfully served them. I think I might put a smile in there too. I quite like that knowledge of Jesus. The second way that we see Jesus demonstrating servanthood is how he recognizes the needs of others. Jesus' concern was always for others. So while he was with the disciples that evening, he recognized what they needed. And it wasn't necessarily clean feet, to be honest. They needed a revelation. They needed understanding of what was about to take place. We've already mentioned Jesus' mode of teaching in the form of parables. And here, we see him literally acting one out. In the act of washing the disciples' feet, Jesus was acting out a parable. He was showing the disciples a deeper meaning to what was obvious, in a way that they would have been familiar with because of their witness of his earlier teachings. He needed to be radical to break through their expectations. They were still expecting this kingdom that Jesus spoke of to be one that would challenge the Roman Empire. And even with all that he had told them up until this point, they just still didn't quite understand. So he had to show them so they could recognize their own needs and understand God's kingdom. He was groundbreaking in the delivery of his truth. He needed the disciples to have an understanding and an example of servanthood. So he gave them one. He washed their feet. Finally, we see how Jesus meets the needs of the disciples. He just got on with the job. He could have quite easily called for a servant himself to come and wash the disciples' feet while he sat and explained to them the meaning of what was going on. But we read in our passage, "So he got up from the meal, and he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." He got the job done, and he didn't stop until it was finished, until all 12 disciples had had their feet washed. Now, as I have mentioned, I am quite a practical person, and I would describe myself as a doer. I have been described as a fixer by some people, but I do like to see things getting done, much to the annoyance of my children at times, because they don't seem to agree. So this is probably my favourite part of understanding how Jesus demonstrates servanthood. We read four words, "So he got up." Jesus knew what needed to be done. And so he just got up and started the process. This one phrase demonstrates all three of the points that we've been looking at. Jesus put aside his own needs to recognize the needs of the disciples, and now he's meeting those needs. He demonstrates in a very obvious way how we are to live in a condition of serving others. He literally tells his disciples in verse 14, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done." There's no layers to Jesus' message here. It's an obvious command. Straight talking, no nonsense, do as I do. I love the simplicity of this example. There's another smile there. But, oh how we have a tendency to complicate it sometimes. So easily, we can get comfortable and complacent. So often, we can tell ourselves that now isn't the time, that we're too busy, that we've got too much going on, that we're waiting for the right ministry to come our way. Or we convince ourselves that as long as we believe and pray and have faith, that we are fulfilling all our Christian requirements. Here, in this example, Jesus shows us the importance and value of taking action to serve others. I'm reading a book at the moment, and it's called The Miracle in Your House. And it's by Tommy Barnett, and he's the pastor of a large church in Arizona. Didn't start out large, started out with 250 people when he arrived there. And it's now boasts a congregation of 10,000. Is this still on? Oh, yeah. It hosts an incredible array of ministries and outreach missions. And his basic message is one of recognizing the miracle starts with us, with what we already have, where we already are. He says in his book, "You will see a marvelous work in your life if you simply practice this example. Don't worry about how to meet the need. Just step out in faith, and God will show you how. Find the need and take the lead." Jesus saw the need. He used what was available to him, and he took the lead in showing the disciples how they were to live by serving others. So with these three points, we've looked at how Jesus demonstrates servanthood. However, things don't end there. After this, there is still more for us to know. When he'd finished washing their feet, Jesus himself asked the disciples a question. He says, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He wants them to see past the obvious. And he wants them to understand not only the how of servanthood, but more importantly, the why. This is the revelation that Jesus wants the disciples to understand through what they've seen him do. And it's also what we need to understand. And it's not so easily understood by simply following Jesus' example of what servanthood practically looks like. Although it's important, it's meaningless if we don't understand the reason we do it. There is another layer. There's a deeper meaning. And it's a life-changing meaning that's a complete contrast to our worldly perspective and understanding. Jesus wanted them to understand what he was revealing about God and his sacrificial love. He'd already spoken earlier in John, saying, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." Everything Jesus did pointed towards God. It revealed God's character. So here in this passage, Jesus is physically acting out God's character. This metaphorical act of washing the disciples' feet was performed to show them how deep God's love is and how far it'll go. That nothing stands in its way. That it is freely given and it is undeserved. It's not ours to earn, it's God's to offer, because it is who he is. And it is wholly and completely demonstrated through Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus tells us himself later on in John. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." The greatest love ever displayed is that of God laying down the life of his Son so that we may be able to experience that love. That we, the very undeserved, through Jesus' sacrifice, are brought back into that love relationship with God. That our wrongdoings become completely irrelevant. That every characteristic of our sinful nature gets overlooked, wiped away, forgotten. Because God's love is simply more important and more powerful. And it's greater than anything we could ever do. There is nothing that it can't overcome or break through. This act of servanthood that Jesus offers the whole of mankind, the freedom to be loved by God. Jesus laid aside his kingship and his majesty in order to serve humanity. His death is the supreme example of servanthood. the fulfilling of the will of God, his Father. That I find simply amazing. And if I could, I would have the biggest smile that I could possibly smile on my face right now. But what does this all this mean for us? In Philippians 2, verse 5, we're told, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death for us, even death on a cross. This is our understanding of servanthood summed up in one sentence, that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We stand loved and accepted in the glory and the holiness of God only because of Jesus. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins and so that we can be called children of God. Jesus' sacrifice was born solely out of his limitless, unparalleled, all-consuming love for humanity. That's amazing. All of these light bulb moments that we have studied throughout the summer, they have basically been chapters in the greatest love story ever told. And not only do we get to read about it in the Bible and to try and understand it a little, but we get to be in it. We are the inspiration for it. We are the reason it exists in the first place. The most fundamental truth of God is his love for humanity. A love so great that he sacrificed himself so that we may get to enjoy it. So I wonder, what further revelation do we need? What truth do we search for that could top that? As Jesus asked the disciples himself, do we truly understand what he has done for us? I'll leave that with you to contemplate. Thank you.